Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Higher Education Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, March 21st. And, today we have Senate File 1573, which will be the Senate's version of the Higher Ed Omnibus Bill. Senator Fischbach, welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the enthusiastic welcome today. Actually, Senate File 1573 is the original underlying bill is the Minsky Revenue Fund, and I do have a delete all. I have the A2 amendment for it, although I know we have not established quorum at this point. So I think if the chair will allow, I can just go ahead and begin to describe the A2 amendment.
Yes, please.
And then when we have a few more members join us, we can add that to the bill.
Very good.
Sections 1 through 3 of the amendment is Senate File 1858, which is Senator Carlson's bill. This is relating to the textbooks that we heard a few weeks ago or maybe a week ago, which aims to provide students more information regarding required and recommended course materials. The language changes course material timelines for faculty and bookstores, as well as requires Minsky to convene a task force to study further mechanisms for saving students money on course matters. Sections 4 and 5 of the amendment is language from Senator Carlson's Senate File 1780, which is the bill which would allow Minsky to continue to operate in case of a government shutdown. Section 6 is the language from Senate File 1573, which is the underlying bill, which is one that I authored that would, at the request of Minsky, this is the provision that raises the bonding authority for the system revenue fund from its current level of $300 million to $405 million. Section 7 of the A2 amendment is the language from Senate File 2289, which was requested by the Office of Higher Ed. It simply updates the definition of a contingent account owner for the Minnesota College Savings Plan. Section 8 is Senator Tomasoni's language from Senate File 1799. This changes how the dollars within the Permanent University Fund are allocated and would funnel some dollars in the fund to establish an engineering program at Mesabi Range Community and Technical College. There's one additional provision that was not in the original bill, which caps the amount of any scholarship a student receives while attending the new program at $6,500 per year. Section 9 is the language from Senator Pappas' Senate File 1512, which grandfathers in a very small number of institutions who were caught up in some unintended consequences of a language change a few years ago. Sections 10 and 11 of the amendment are from Senator Vanderveer's Senate File 2036, which expands eligibility for the Safety Officer Survivor Program for use in graduate programs. The effective date is retroactive to July 1st, 2011, which will allow two individuals to access the benefits. Section 12 is the working group language that was mentioned earlier in Senator Carlson's textbook bill. Section 13 is Senator Rest's Senate File 1781, which deals with the transfer of money for graduate medical education from the University of Minnesota to the Hennepin County Medical Center. Sections 14 and 15 relate to the provisions from Senate File 2423. A bill that I authored, which provides two separate appropriations to Minsky. First relates to the establishment of a leveraged equipment fund, and the second appropriation would be to assist Minsky in a statewide and regional program alignment activities. That was the one we heard just Monday, I believe it was. So that is, in essence, so the bills that are included, we have heard for the most part, all of them, as a matter of fact, that are contained in the A2 amendment.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Fischbach, do you have a target then? Are you going to fill in numbers in Section 14 and 15?
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas,
Senator
not
Fischbach.
Today. We are going to, if the committee will allow us, we're going to send it on to finance without an appropriation number in there and continue to work on those funds. Obviously, if there's nothing that is added there, if there's no numbers, that will be removed from the bill.
I hope you get some money there.
Thank you very much.
Well,
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, we're working on her, among others. So.
Members, we're still waiting for a couple more members here to join us to move any amendments. Are there any other questions? Senator Latz?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman, Senator Fischbach, follow-up on Senator Pappas's question. Is there any amount specifically that's being requested to fill in for Sections 14 and 15? Is there any dollar amount that would accomplish the purpose that's sought here, or is it just kind of an open-ended request?
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, the day that we held the hearing, we did have this discussion. I don't know if you were able to be there that day, but we were talking about $5 million, and President Johnson, who testify that day, said that in the past, when this program has been available, $5 million was able to leverage them about $17 million, as I recall his testimony. And then it would be a very small amount for the workforce alignment portion, $100,000 potentially.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that a quorum is present.
Well, then, Mr. Chair, I will move the A2 amendment, and just so that we can put it on the bill.
Okay. Senator Fischbach would like to move the A2 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Carlson.
Well, Mr. Chair, now that Senator Roebling is here, I wonder if we could just put in that plea for that $5 million now.
$5 million.
Senator Roebling.
Leverage a commitment.
$5,100,000.
Mr. Chair, I mean, I had heard $2 to $3 million. I didn't realize we were up to five.
Two already. And three.
That's Senator Roebling. That's what happens when you don't show up to committee on time.
We're talking about
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling will keep talking about it.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A4 amendment.
Okay. The A4 amendment, I believe, is in our packets here. Senator Pappas, would you like to explain the A4, please?
I believe this, Mr. Chairman, was legislation authored by Senator Mary Jo McGuire. And I'm not sure what was the date of the introduction or anything, but the chair, I think we didn't have time to hear it during our regular schedule, but it's a fairly simple and straightforward bill. It really just says that the Student Advisory Council to the Minnesota Office of Higher Education is adding another member, the chair of the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition. And the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition, and they are here today if you're interested, they represent all the coordinated campuses of the University of Minnesota, as well as the graduate students. And if you look at the composition of the SAC, there is really only one representative from the University of Minnesota, and that's the chair of the Student Senate, whereas there are quite a few representatives from MNSCU, the State University Student Association, State College Student Association, an officer of the State College Student Association, somebody at the community colleges, at the technical colleges. There's like five or six positions. So I think the University of Minnesota students would really appreciate it if they had another person to represent them on the Student Advisory Council.
Okay. Senator Fischbach, any comments on A4, and if there's anyone in the audience I'd like to testify on the A4, they could come forward as well.
Are there testifiers?
It looks like there are.
There we go.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Christopher Tosted. I'm a biochemistry student at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus, and I'm the chairman for the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition. So this particular bill, like Senator Pappas had mentioned, is relatively straightforward. The perspective that we have is that we're a newly founded organization, and we look to represent the entire University of Minnesota system students, independent of the current advocacy that's done for the university as a whole, and we exist to serve students and speak on behalf of their voice. And our current representation on that committee is amongst the Student Senate, which is a democratically elected body that also represents the entire system. But from our viewpoint with this particular issue, we serve a fundamentally novel service to the students in that we are an action-based committee. We're not focused strictly on policy like the Senate is, but actually on legislative issues themselves, both in the sense that we actively reach out to students and individual constituencies across campuses and across different demographics, and also look to develop those issues and move them forward at the legislature like we've done with this particular issue. So we're actively working with the administration. We're actively working with legislators like yourselves. And we feel that within this committee, due to the nature of this committee being an advisory role, that including additional perspectives, unique perspectives, across a wide diversity of demographics is important, and that we provide something unique and novel in addition to the Student Senate on this committee, and that we would be effective in serving that perspective for the Office of Higher Education.
Thank you, Mr. Tassin. Any questions? Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to amend Senator Pappas's amendment.
Okay. Please, is this going to be an oral amendment, Senator
Carlson?
This
would be an oral amendment.
Okay. Please state the oral amendment.
On line 1.8, after the word association, put in the word or, and move the new language on 1.13 up after the word or, so, and then strike the word and, so that it would read, on 1.8 it would read State University Student Association or the chair of the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Senator Carlson.
What I'd like to do is just the purpose of that, Mr. Chair and members, I understand that we have a new coalition, and I applaud you for your efforts. I think if you look at the number of students that we have in the Minsky campuses versus the University of Minnesota campuses, I think we probably have pretty good representation as it is, and so I think it would be up to University of Minnesota to decide if they want to either use the chair of the Minnesota State University Student Association or the chair of this new association. And so give them that flexibility so they could do that. But we would still have pretty fair representation based on the per-student ratios.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, the problem with your amendment is the Minnesota State University Student Association is the four-year colleges.
Yeah.
And this organization represents the University of Minnesota campuses. So they're not representing the same population at all. And with my amendment, we have five representatives for Minsky and one for the university, adding a second.
So got it. Okay.
We have five for Minsky and two for the University of Minnesota. So we understand the differences in student population.
Senator Carlson.
And I apologize. That should have been moved up to line 1.7 after University of Minnesota Student Senate. I apologize.
Oh, Senator Carlson, why don't you why don't you restate your oral amendment, and then I'm going to make sure that has that as well.
So if you look at the A4 amendment, the amendment would be on line 1.7 after Minnesota Student Senate, then put in the word or and move the underlying new language on 1.13 up after or striking the and. So I would say Minnesota Student Senate or the chair of the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition.
Senator Pappas.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the complication with that is there really is no appointing authority here. So who's going to make the decision that it's the chair of the University of Minnesota Student Senate or the chair of the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition? They are just named in the law. It's not like the governor appoints or Office of Higher Education appoints. So I still think it's problematic. So is there some other suggestion that you have?
Senator Carlson?
Well, Mr. Chair, we could probably add rock, paper, scissors to that. Or I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Mr. Fuller, do you want to comment?
No, that's my job. Mr. Chairman, Senator Carlson, if you do need a determiner of who that person would be. So in that clause, you would have to say something to the effect, as determined by the Office of Higher Education, as determined by the Board of Regents, as determined by somebody. Otherwise, there's chaos with respect to that.
Senator Fischbach?
I believe Mr. Johnson has something that he would like to maybe clarify on that.
Please.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, in terms of, I understand the perspective that you provide in this amendment, but one thing that I wanted to add was that the nature of this committee is ultimately advisory in its purpose, and that's something that has been addressed. You're right, there are many more students in the MNSCU system than there are at the University of Minnesota, but the nature of this committee isn't exactly for the purpose of decision-making or representation, but more so for providing an adequate level and a wide breadth of perspective at the Office of Higher Education. And we feel that the perspectives that the Student Senate provides in the way that they function, in the way that they are composed and ultimately operate, and the mission that's defined by the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition are ultimately distinct and independent, are both worthy of being represented on the committee. So that would be my perspective in terms of that amendment. I feel as though that would limit the what was seen on the committee and ultimately heard in terms of advice given to the Office of Higher Education.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Johnson, would you say that your legislative coalition is a bipartisan coalition, or does it lean toward one political party or the other?
Mr. Tostin, I believe.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, if I could clarify, is Tosted. Thank you.
Tosted.
Oh, I wrote it down wrong. I'm so sorry.
No worries. It's a difficult one, yes. And to answer the question, we are purely nonpartisan. We focus strictly on what is in the best interest of students. We tend to shy away from issues that students don't have a vested stake in, and we exist solely to represent the best interest of students, whether that be on either side of the aisle. Whatever that issue is, we evaluate objectively what students will benefit from and what students what the student voice would best represent. And we hope to do that essentially through actually speaking with students, working with them, and actively reaching out to those constituencies on campus for the sake of best representing that perspective as well as we can. So not only doing it through an elective approach in our roles themselves, but also through a hands-on approach, much like you do as representatives of your own constituencies.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
So are you right now basically a lobbying organization for the student organization? So you take positions on things, and then you come here to talk to us?
Mr. Tostad?
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes, we effectively serve as the lobbying arm of our charter is established through the extension of decision-making power through each of the student associations across the University of Minnesota system, including all five campuses and the graduate students. So we collectively represent those student associations, which are elected by students, and then move to advocate on behalf of those. We also take an on-campus, we also work on campus and take, I guess, an active approach in reaching out to students as well. You could say that's more of a grassroots organizing aspect, but at the legislature, we do serve to lobby on behalf of students.
Okay, so we have Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would have to oppose Senator Carlson's amendment because I do think that this is a welcome addition to student representation. It's been a frustration of my part over the years that I was chair that the University of Minnesota students never seemed to be here, never seemed to be represented. The MNSCU student associations were always here and always, you know, talking to us and always, you know, sitting up there and testifying. But the University of Minnesota students were not. They were in. Sometimes they were here, sometimes they weren't. I never knew who the chair was. We never knew who to contact. So I think this is really a very welcome addition. There's a lot of things that go on here that impact students and the University of Minnesota, and I'm happy that they are here to represent them. And I think this is I'd like to see more students involved in the Student Advisory Council as well.
Senator Pappas, I'll say just in my short time here, I have heard a lot from the U of M, so I think they're doing a much better job,
much better
students
job,
are.
Right.
So I compliment you, Mr. Tostad, and your group for that. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You really helped enlighten me, Senator Pappas. Thank you. So if the University of Minnesota Student Senate really isn't very active in coming to some of these things, perhaps I will change my amendment if I would have that opportunity.
Okay. Senator Carlson.
So what I would say is on 1.7, I would strike chair of the University of Minnesota Student Senate and instead put in the chair of the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition.
He just needs to
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carlson, that seems kind of unfair because they're not here to represent themselves unless someone is here from that I'm aware unaware of. They did not know that there was an intention to substitute another group for them, and I don't think we would move forward if that happened.
Senator Carlson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Pappas, that I guess that makes my point. If they're not active enough and they don't care enough, why would we even want to have them on there? Why don't we just put Mr. Tofstedt's group on there instead?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pappas?
Then I didn't inform them that I was offering this, so I don't think they knew. So I don't think that it's a fair thing to do.
Senator Letts.
Mr. Chairman and members, the fact that they're not here at a particular higher education committee meeting of the Senate doesn't mean that they don't actively participate in the Student Advisory Council to the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. They may well have a perfect attendance record for all we know. We just don't have any information on that. So penalizing them for not being here at this particular committee meeting when the room is comparatively empty compared to many other committee meetings that we have here is patently unfair. They certainly would have a right to come here and to say how they've been involved if it was the intent to move forward to delete them from the statute. I know Minsky's got a lot of students, but we're not looking at strict proportionality here. This is an advisory commission to the Office of Higher Education. They don't have any actual power other than the information that they bring to help the Office of Higher Education make some decisions and maybe advise us on their proposals. So I don't see any problem with adding an informed voice to that.
Mr. Tofstedt, do you want to comment on that?
Mr. Chair, Senators, I would like to clarify both of those points very quickly. The chairman of the Senate, who actually serves on this committee and would be the most active role, was recently there was recently a shuffle there. Someone stepped down and moved in just within the past few weeks. So I assume that they wouldn't be as up to speed on the things such as attending hearings and the like. Also, in terms of the amendment that's currently being proposed, the Student Senate ultimately serves as a policy-forming body in addition with the Faculty Senate and the Board of Regents at the university. So the issues and things that they're ultimately dealing with are not action-based in nature, and they don't extend to the legislature the way that in their actual motives or mission. But the policies that they're addressing and the viewpoint that they would ultimately have are very key to the central aspects of the university and ultimately what the Office of Higher Education serves to do in terms of evaluating things like graduation rates, tuition rates, and all of those kind of data-intensive things. Those are things that Student Senate has a very large stake in and actively evaluates. So I feel as though, again, their perspective is very valuable to this committee just as much as the MSLC's is.
We also have Amanda Bardorner on the list to testify. I don't know if she wants to give input on the amendment to the amendment or just the overall amendment, but welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. For the record, I'm Amanda Bardonner, State Chair of the Minnesota State University Student Association. I also am our current representative on the Student Advisory Council. I'm here today both representing MSUSA as well as students on the council, as we've certainly had conversation about this matter. I'm here today in opposition to the original A2 or A4 amendment, but then would favor an amendment made by Senator Carlson. And to clarify, the Student Advisory Council was created by statute and exists to allow student organizations to work with the Office of Higher Education, and the council is comprised of one student from each sector of higher education in Minnesota. Those sectors have the one student representative from our state community colleges, our state universities, our state technical colleges, which is the three representatives that comprise the Minsky system, the private nonprofit colleges, the private sector career colleges, and the University of Minnesota. MSUSA is excited to have the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition more actively engaged in advocacy efforts. Having more students involved in this process will enhance the educational opportunities for students across the state. However, we have a few concerns that I'd like to quickly outline for you. First, an additional second member for the University of Minnesota system gives them an extra vote on the committee, which would obviously then disproportionate the other members. This would convey an unbalanced perspective from the student organizations to OHE. Secondly, the legislature would be codifying an organization that was formed only 4 months ago and has not established itself as the clear voice for students at the University of Minnesota, nor were they elected by their peers to be their official voice, as were the other members that make up the Student Advisory Council. Currently, the student representative from the University of Minnesota is the chair of the Student Senate, as was heard. He's also a student at I'm from Wisconsin, so UW is something I quickly say, the University of Minnesota Morris. And so he's obviously not able to be here for that. And lastly, the meetings of the Student Advisory Council are open, and we would warmly welcome the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition's attendance and participation in those meetings. However, we do believe that the current structure of voting members provides that equal representation across the sectors of higher education as was intended. We also feel that representation from the University of Minnesota on SAC is best handled internally, whether that be through the Student Advisory Council or through the University of Minnesota in them determining their representation. If legislation needs to be passed to address the concerns, we would favor an amendment that would read or after the Student Senate Chair of the University of Minnesota and insert the MSLC as the alternative option to serve on that committee. I would stand if there are any questions.
Members, any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
I think the language is pretty confusing right now. As I read it quickly, I thought that there were five Minsky representatives. But, Amanda, you're saying there's really only three?
That's correct, Chair. Senator Pappas. There are three. And the reason that there's three is because if you remember before the system existed, we had the three sectors, the universities, right, the technical colleges, and the community colleges. And it was thought when the Minsky system developed that those three sectors then obviously still have individual needs and would still need that representation. I, as a university student or even as a college student, would not know the needs of the technical college students. And so for that reason, the membership has stayed as such.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think this is very enlightening, and I really appreciate everyone coming today. But I really thought I misread the law. I thought there were five Minsky people. It's kind of confusing to me. And now that I know there's three, I'm going to withdraw my amendment.
Okay. Senator Carlson, the amendment to the amendment is also withdrawn?
Automatically.
Okay. So
now I understand. We understand each other now.
Okay. So the A4 amendment has been withdrawn.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Now I have an even more controversial amendment.
Geez.
That's the A3.
Holy smoke, Senator Pappas.
Everyone will love.
All right. Do we have the A3 in our packets? We do. Okay. Senator Pappas to the A3 amendment. Members, it should be in your packets.
This just involves the University of Minnesota now. Currently, we do have, by chance, two students that serve on the Board of Regents. And I think that the students have really appreciated that because Venora Hung represents CD5, and she started out as a law school student. She's now graduated and a practicing lawyer with Cargill. And Maureen Ramirez actually has the official student position and also has graduated and has a professional job. So what this would say is we'd kind of keep the status quo by having two members of the Board of Regents that are students. One problem I did perceive thinking ahead to next year is how are we going to decide which seat should be the second student seat if we want to proceed in this direction. And we might think about just making one of the at-large seats a second student seat, if the members are interested and the chair is interested. She may not be interested, since she didn't hear the bill, in proceeding in this direction. And again, it's that same group that's very active, and maybe someone from the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition wants to speak about this. Mr. Tolstad, again.
Senator Fischbach, would you
allows.
Like to make any comments, or should we hear from the testifiers first?
You know what, Mr. Chair, we can hear from the testifiers first if there's testifiers on it.
Mr. Tolstad, welcome back.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think I'll start off today. I have James McGee, one of our student legislative advocates for the MSLC, along with me here. He's been working very actively on this particular issue. I think I'll start off by maybe clarifying a few aspects of what our organization is, since we've had a bit of a disjointed discussion about who we are and what we represent at this point, and hopefully it'll better clarify. So the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition is a new initiative that's been developing over the course of the past year and a half. And it essentially exists to represent students collectively at the state capitol. In the past, Minnesota, the University of Minnesota, has existed through very disjointed arms that represent each campus individually. And as you've noted yourselves, the University of Minnesota students have not been very well represented at the state level. So we recognize this. We recognize the concerns of legislators. We recognize the concerns of administrators and the lack of participation by students. And we ultimately got organized. So we now have a charter that exists and represents our organization behind one name, behind one platform, and behind one perspective that that collectively ties together those student associations. And we then exist to be a focal point of communication. We strive for transparency and ultimately a way to better engage students in the legislative process. On this, on our governing body, the MSLC Central Committee, we have multiple representatives outside of our own organization. We have representatives from each campus that are equally represented on that committee. And we work to tie in perspectives from things like the representatives to the Board of Regents. These are non-voting students that work and interface with the board, but are not actively participating in board decisions. We also have an ex officio administrator that we work with for the sake of better communicating with the administration and making sure that we're on the same page. They also provide support for various things and in initiatives at some points, but they effectively don't hold weight in our decisions, but merely advise what we do. So the decision-making and the core of that is under my purview and the committee's purview, and we ultimately isolate and evaluate issues that would affect students, and this is under a broad range of things, ranging from things like voter ID and the direct impact that has on students to something like the voice of students and how that can be projected in university decision-making on things like the Board of Regents. So this is an organization that has gone through extensive undertaking to become very established, become very active, and strive for consistency and longevity in our efforts and make sure that students are involved and that students ultimately have a voice. So I think with that, I will pass it over to James here, and he can touch specifically on this issue.
Mr. McGee, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is James McGee. I'm an undergraduate student studying political science at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus. I'm also a student advocate for the Minnesota Student Legislative Coalition. I would like to thank you for allowing me to present myself and the perspective of students here today. A major concern exists for students, set in the context of decreasing state appropriations and the ensuing rise in tuition. We feel that the level of student participation at the highest levels of university government is insufficient when compared to the investment that students have made through their tuition and fees. As you know, the governance of the University of Minnesota is vested in the 12-member Board of Regents, elected by the legislature to serve staggered six-year terms and have all the power to set salaries, tuition, and fees and internal laws of governance for the University of Minnesota. Stakeholder participation has been an important aspect of that governance at the university. State statute requires that 8 regents are elected to serve each of the 8 congressional districts and 4 regents serve the state at large. There is also a state statute that requires 1 at-large regent be an enrolled student at the time of election. However, we feel that in the interest of strengthening the student perspective in the university decision-making process, we feel that a single student vote is insufficient in providing validity, consistency, and strength to the student voice. The investment that thousands of University of Minnesota students have made in the university through tuition and fees makes university students the majority stakeholder in the University of Minnesota's annual operating budget, accounting for roughly a third. Due to the historic budget cuts and reductions in the university's state appropriations, students' tuition and fees now exceed state funding as the university's largest and most stable source of revenue. Given such a large discrepancy between the total annual investment of students in the University of Minnesota and the representation of their perspective on the board, our hope is that students, with your help, can wield a greater perspective in the decisions which so greatly affect their future. The addition of a second student on the board would ensure a stronger, clearer, and more consistent voice for students. Thank you for allowing me the time to speak. I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Senator Brown?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have some questions about the language of the A3 amendment. This term would be for 6 years. Is that correct? On lines 1.9 and 1.10, it says are students who are enrolled in a degree program at the university at the time of their running for this office. Is there a minimum number of classes one needs to take to be enrolled in a degree program?
Mr. Chair.
Dossett, please.
Senator Brown, this varies depending on the degree. There is a non-degree program that is offered at the University of Minnesota, and I can't speak specifically to the parameters of that, but I know, for instance, to be enrolled as a full-time student in my undergraduate degree program, I need to be enrolled for 12 credits, 6 credits, half-time, and this is different for graduate students as well. I think there's less credits there, but there ultimately are credit minimums for each classification of student that you have in a variety of programs.
Okay, so Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
This doesn't say a full-time degree program. Are we making the assumption that that's what it is? What I'm getting at, my concern is we could have someone elected to the, or we could have two students elected to be Board of Regents, and then a few months later they decide that now that they're on the Board of Regents, they don't want to take classes anymore, but yet they have a six-year term, they're going to be there, and they're truly not representing students because they would have that option to no longer be students. That's how I'm reading this amendment. Is that accurate?
Yes. Senator Pappas, and then maybe Mr. Fuller can
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I think that's current law. So that certainly could happen with a region. I don't know if it ever has. I think in the past, student regents have gone on and graduated because they tend to be kind of high achievers who go after this position. So I don't recall that ever happening where a student regent just dropped out of college after they were a regent.
But it could,
Senator
according
Brown.
To this.
I Senator
Pappas.
Current law, though. Current law. They could.
Right.
I'm not changing current law.
Right.
Mr. Fuller, would you like to jump
Mr.
in
Chairman,
here?
Chairman, members, just a point of information. I mean, the regents are controlled by the university charter. So we do not have authority to change their term of office. So it's 6 years, so that's not an option that would be on the table. The language of the amendment does not speak to full-time students. It says they're enrolled. And so to me, it's unclear what the requirements are for your load or your activity as a student. It's just not clear. It doesn't say that. If you're talking financial aid, you know, maybe there's a full-time aid, but this statute doesn't specify it. I also assume that six-year term means that it's very likely that a student would graduate during the course of their term, and unless they resigned, I don't think it's in our authority to terminate that term because of the requirement in the charter that it be 6 years and the provision in the Constitution that perpetuates the charter rights. So those are just points of information to consider as we work through this proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Senator Carlson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, this might be a little bit to Senator Brown's point, but Senator Pappas, I love this amendment because I'm all about students. The only thing is I just think that maybe we need to probably spend some time maybe over the summer and bring it up next year. I'm not sure if this is ready for prime time. I'm in favor of this. I absolutely am in favor of the students having two seats. But I don't know because we have a constitutional part, if everything was just in statute, it'd be a little easier. Maybe we could add a regent or something like that and allow for more students. I would be, if I'm lucky enough to be back again next year, I'd love to be an advocate for this, but maybe give it some more time to really work through the intricacies, this thing about, you know, what qualifies as an enrolled student and all that. I do like your amendment, but I'm not sure if we're quite ready for it yet.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that support. The problem is if we wait till next year, the regent choices are up next year. Right, in 2013. We didn't do it this year. So then it would be 3 years before you could actually implement this change if we waited. So, I mean, maybe if the committee, Mr. Chairman, if the committee decides to vote for it and the chair carries it forward, we can think about it for the next few weeks.
Mr.
Senator
Chair,
I don't believe it's in the House bill.
Mr. Chair, I'm concerned about the flexibility that it does remove from the legislature. You know, right now the legislature is able to look at the makeup of the Board of Regents. To a certain extent, there are some statutory requirements already, but look at that makeup and Senator Pappas mentioned earlier there are two students, but both have graduated, so they're not technically students anymore. But they were students when they were appointed. So I do have some concerns about removing some of that flexibility for the legislature and the legislature's ability to look at the Regent Board as a whole and determine how, what direction and what balance we would like to see on it.
Thank you. And I'd just like to mention that I have the same concerns. I'm very supportive of the idea. And Senator Pappas, I appreciate you bringing this forward. I had conversations with both of the testifiers about this legislation. I think it's a good idea, but just on the testimony that we've had and the conversation that we've had in this committee, we clearly need some more work on it. And I see where you're coming from, Senator Pappas, with the terms next year, but we're not even, I mean, do we need to decide as a committee and as a legislature, do we want a student to replace one of those at-large positions? The other thing we have to think about is, as a six-year term, there's always going to be turnover, so we're always going to be at a point where there's going to be a student spot, and most likely they're not going to be technically a student at the University of Minnesota. So maybe we can try to get together with the University of Minnesota and work this out and see if there's a way, as Mr. Fuller said, the legislature really doesn't have any jurisdiction over the terms.
The term,
so the six-year term. Maybe there's something we can work on with the University of Minnesota on the term.
Mr. Chairman, it really is up to the legislature how we determine the Board of Regents based on the charter, as Mr. Fuller said. Both positions, I think, are up next year. Is that right? Do you remember, John?
Mr. Fuller?
Or Maya? I think, has it been 6 years?
Whenever Dean Johnson was at the same time. Was that 6 years?
Might be 6 years. I believe both the student position. Do you know the student position?
Mr. Tosta?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the current the student that was elected as a student specifically for this position is up for election next year in addition to two other at-large members. And if I could add one point of information in terms of flexibility, we phrase this particular language so that this individual could be not only from an at-large role but from one of the congressional districts as well, because to address that point of flexibility, understanding that we don't want to hamstring the legislature to a greater extent than necessary to support this constituency. So we would hope that that would maybe be seen as an offering of flexibility, and that's open for discussion as well now for that sake. And then if I could also touch on the concept of a student not being a student at a certain point in their tenure on the board. That's definitely something that we've given a great deal of thought to in terms of evaluating this issue. We've been in active discussions on what's the best way to approach this as far back as November within the MSLC. And that's something that we felt we ultimately, in terms of putting this issue forward, considered actually attempting to modify term lengths for the sake of having that correlate with the student's enrollment. But what we ultimately decided was that would provide a weaker stance in the role. It would provide it would be the benefit gained by having that person be enrolled at the time of their tenure on the board would be overshadowed by the fact that that position would ultimately be limited in its power and its decision-making ability just due to that shortened amount of time on the board and that shortened impact that they can ultimately have. What we feel is more important to consider in this is that person, even though they might be a few years out of college, is going to be more proximal to the student experience as a whole versus the other members of the board typically who are often 50, 60, 70 years old. So we are perfectly comfortable and still very supportive of someone who's maybe 25, 26 serving on this board because they're going to still be very much in the mindset of what students are experiencing and what they're going through on campus. And I can say that the current student regent, Maureen Ramirez, has been very accessible and very understandable of our perspective as we have gone through this in the meetings that we've held with her.
Well, Mr. Tosta and Mr. McGee, if the student spot is open next year, doesn't it make sense to, even if we do go to two students, doesn't it make sense to stagger them and not do them both in 1 year, therefore giving us more time to work on this? Because from my perspective, if the student spot's open next year, we certainly wouldn't want to put two students on at the exact same time.
Mr. Chair, this is an interesting point to raise and something that we've considered. In our discussions, James could potentially touch on this as well. We've felt that the perspective that's been provided from the board is that it's just been a general benefit to have those students there at all. You could maybe say that there might be a gain from having a more senior student representative and more junior one in some respects, but ultimately just having them there at all, I think, together has been the positive outcome. And getting down into finer details, more discrete details like that might be kind of micromanaging in some ways that might not be necessary and provide any additional benefit to the cost of worrying about that or delaying this issue as a whole. If James, maybe you want to touch on that possibly.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, one, when we had discussed this as an idea, one concern of ours would be that while this would speed up the learning curve as you're being introduced to the Board of Regents, it would be beneficial in some ways to have a senior and a junior type position for the benefit of the junior regent. We feel that this might kind of create a situation where the junior regent's authority or credibility is somewhat diminished by the fact that they're in that junior status, and that was one of the concerns that we had moving forward with staggering them. So there are some benefits to it, I think, but there are also some concerns with that option as well.
Well, one of the concerns I have without staggering them is if this is a six-year term, you're going to lose some students aren't even going to have the opportunity to run for a regent if you do them both in the same year. So if, say, we elect two students next year, if this legislation were to pass, the following year's freshman class, they're not even going to have an opportunity. Right. Not only that class, but the class after them. They're not going to have an opportunity to be a regent. So that concerns me. So, again, Senator Pappas, I think this is a good idea. You have my commitment. If this does not pass today and I am fortunate enough to be back next year, I'll certainly continue to work with you on this. I made that commitment to the students, and I'm willing to continue that. But I think we need to have – I think there are some more details that need to be worked out before we decide to move forward with this today.
Mr. Chairman, just one final comment then. We do have two regents on the board right now who were students when they were first elected to the board, and I think that's worked very well, that students have had then double representation than they've had in the past, which has been very, very helpful. And that youthful perspective, they probably were both still paying off student loans as the years went by, I think has been very valuable. The Board of Regents does tend to trend toward a little bit older individuals, and I think it's very helpful to have that younger perspective. So I would like to press ahead with the A3 amendment, and I appreciate everyone who is supportive but can't be supportive this year, but let's see how it goes.
In Senator Pappas, I agree. There's nothing wrong with that young blood. We need that sometimes.
We have a young blood opponent.
A new perspective. All right. Any other discussion on the A3? Okay. Senator Pappas moves the A3 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
No. The amendment fails.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate it. Okay, we are back on.
They did. Any discussion on the A2?
On the A2, Senate File 1573, the A2 amendment. Any other discussion, members? Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On line 7.22, section 13, mandating the U to transfer its appropriation to the HCMC. I'm questioning whether or not it's appropriate for us to make that a mandate. Can we do that, given that the university is constitutionally independent? Line 7.22 says the word must. I know the U almost always does what we ask them to do anyway because we hold the purse strings, but Maybe Mr. Fuller could...
Mr. Fuller, would you like to comment on that, please?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lance, I don't think this interferes with the autonomy of the university. Case law is pretty clear that we can condition appropriations to the U, and they have to abide by those appropriations. Granted, this is after the fact, but I think it falls within that general theory.
Senator Latz?
On a different topic, Mr. Chairman, unless someone else had any other thoughts on that.
Please, Mr. Senator Latz.
On Section 8, the mineral research scholarships, I was here for the testimony on it. I don't recall specifically if the university as an institution was supporting this change in the allocation of funds.
Senator Fischbach?
Mr. Chair, I don't recall. I remember Senator Tomasoni's performance, but can someone help recall if the university was here? I believe they were here to testify, and I can't. I'm getting some nodding. Yes. Do you, Jason? Can you
I'm
help?
I'm getting a lot of looks.
I'm trying
Fischbach.
To recall. I wish I had a clear memory of exactly what they were saying. If anyone does recall, please help me out here.
They mostly just clarified.
Our committee administrator believes that they were here to testify and laid out the different options but did not take a position on it. Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that could help us out with this?
There we go.
All
Yay.
Right.
Should have come up earlier.
Yeah.
We all look pretty goofy.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr.
Please
Chairman,
state your name for the record.
Members, my name is Marty McDonough from the University of Minnesota. And I think the description that Mr. Fossum gave is correct. I mean, this is a very new project for us, and we're working very hard to put something together that meets all the needs. But I don't think a commitment was made that – and Senator Tomasoni was wanting to be flexible moving forward, so we're going to try to find something that works.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Senator Latz, is that sufficient, or do you have a follow-up?
Well, Mr. Chairman, since it is a degree program being offered by the University of Minnesota – or through the University of Minnesota, I was hoping for some indication of preference there. And maybe someone could remind me what the funds that are being transferred to be targeted to this program are currently being used for.
Anyone like to, Ms. Wyman?
Mr. Chair, members, currently... that money is divided where half of it goes for mineral research at NRRI and half of it goes to scholarships that are allocated to students at all the campuses, the U of M campuses. And this language will be taking a portion of the money that is currently going to NRRI for mineral research and using that money for the scholarships and operating costs of this program that's being proposed.
And Ms. Wyman, do I remember correctly that this was the one that has some of them have caps?
Yes.
And now the testimony is coming back to me a little bit here.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay.
Currently, both of those accounts are at about $46 million, and the current language, it would go up to $50 million. And so this would... kind of in response then, because we're approaching that cap, but that money could be used for different purposes.
Senator Latz?
Mr. Chairman, so it sounds like the NRRI's research dollars, or at least from this fund, would be cut in half.
Mr.
Wyman?
Chair, members, that's correct.
And have we heard, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Latz.
Have we heard from NRRI whether they are comfortable losing half of the research dollars from this source and what impact that would have?
Where's Senator Tomasoni when you need him, right?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling?
Well, Senator Latz, the way I understood it was that they probably didn't expect more money into that fund after it reached its cap. So I don't know if they – maybe they had hoped that we would continue to put it in and raise the cap, but I don't I don't know if they were, they didn't come in here and ask us to do that.
That's
so
what I remember.
I'm thinking that they have the expectation that they'll have quite a bit of a resource when that endowment is filled.
Senator Latz, if I remember the testimony, there was no opposition to this. I don't know if Mr. Fuller, you wanted to comment, but I don't believe anyone was opposed to this at the time of testimony.
Mr. Chair, we were
Senator Fischbach?
We were just discussing. We don't believe they were in to testify against it, and that I think Senator Roebling was getting at the fact that there is some backfill into that, so it won't be like they are completely losing all of the money, or at least and may get it all back. They won't lose all of our. They will not lose all that it looks like they will because that fund is being filled back up.
Right.
Senator Latz? Chairman,
I'm sorry if I'm kind of getting up to speed on some of this, but is the NRRI part of the University of Minnesota or is an independent research institute? And the second question is, do we know if they knew that this matter was going to be heard at the last committee hearing where Senator Tomasoni made his proposal?
Mr. McDonough?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz. The NRRI is part of the university system, and they work very closely with the University of Minnesota Duluth. They're located just north of Duluth up in Hermantown. And I believe they've been working. They're under the administration of the provost, who was here testifying on this bill. So they've been involved in this process.
And Mr.
Senator
Chairman,
Latz.
Mr. McDonough, did the provost testify in favor of this provision?
I believe this
Mr.
is
McDonough.
Something.
Mr. McDonough?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz, I think this is, I don't think she committed to this necessarily, but I think this is a process that's being set up where we're continuing to work daily on this to put something together, and by the time you finish, it's acceptable.
And Mr.
Senator
Chair,
Fischbach.
As I recall, Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, she had a lot to say about the academics of the program and talked about how they were going to, as it moved forward, deal with the academics and things like that regarding the program, as I recall.
So,
Senator
Mr.
Latz.
Chairman, it sounds like the provost that oversees the NRRI, if I put it that properly?
Yes.
Did not come in here saying don't do this because it's going to cut our research dollars substantially and we can't afford that or anything like that. I assume
she did
that,
not.
If that were going to be a problem, she would have said something to that effect, or she should have when
yes.
she had the
Mr.
opportunity.
McDonough.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz, that's correct.
Is that a fair conclusion
yes.
then? All right. Thank you.
Senator Roebling.
You know, and members, I think that the decision here is that the one fund will be filled to the cap, and then there will be other money available. And Senator Tomasoni is just proposing to take it and use it for this specific purpose. I would think we could also use it to add to the scholarship fund. In the general scholarship fund, if maybe it has a cap now that we could lift or increase, because that gives, I think, at least $1,000 scholarship to every student who from Minnesota who attends the University of Minnesota. If we didn't want to use it for this program and these scholarships for a very specific program, we could potentially allocate that in a different way. And I would just look to you, Mr. McDonough.
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, I believe
Mr.
that's
McDonough.
Correct. That it's a cap scholarship for every Minnesota resident attending a university campus.
Any other questions, members? And this, any, okay. Thank you, Mr. McDonough. Any other testimony from the audience?
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate File 1573 as amended to the Finance Committee.
Okay. Yes. Senator Fischbach moves Senate File 1573 as amended to pass and be re-referred to the Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Fischbach.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, members, that concludes today's committee. At this point, we do not have any other committee hearing scheduled. If anything changes, we will certainly let you know. Otherwise, committee is adjourned.